Let's get right into the word on today. Go with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, we are concluding the Life in Transition series. This has been a four-part series where I have examined really the art of transition, because one of the only constants in life is change. And from a personal note, from my heart to you all, this has personally been my most enjoyable series that I've ever studied and delivered. So if you are, it's your first time hearing this particular series, I invite you back to our podcast on all podcast platforms. Search the Outlet Community Church, or you can go to YouTube and you can catch this series in its entirety. But this series is the answer to anyone who's ever been out there wondering, how come it doesn't seem like my prayers are being answered? How come it seems like, you know, when I'm believing, I'm not seeing what I'm believing? This series is for you. And for anybody who's in a moment or a period of transition, or anybody who's in the storm or the fight of your life, there are principles that we have covered and that we will cover on today that are going to help to anchor you and to help give you what you need to be successful in life. But in Mark chapter 4, as we close out this series, I want to give you an opening statement here. It's not the Bible you know, but it's the Bible you do that produces results. It's not the Bible you know, it's the Bible you do that produces results. And so if faith comes by hearing, then the proof of your faith is found in the action that you take on your beliefs. And one thing about in a court of law, I've noticed, although I'm not a lawyer, and we do have attorneys and lawyers here and watching, in a court of law, I've noticed that it's not what you know that gets you the verdict you're looking for, it's what you can prove. And often there's word that we know, but we haven't sat with it long enough to prove it out, to see if it's what God is doing in this season of our life. And so I want to give you some principles to help you prove out some things so that you can build a confidence in the character and the faithfulness of God in the moments where, when you're not faithful, God still is faithful. And in Mark chapter 4, verses 4 through 10, we'll take a look here. And this series started in verse 35, where Jesus, after this lesson that he gave, told his disciples, "Let us go to the other side." And in the midst of their obedience, in the midst of their obedience, in the midst of their obedience, they faced a storm that looked like it was going to be completely catastrophic that came out of nowhere. And I don't know who I'm talking to in here, but have you ever found yourself in life in the middle of a storm that you didn't see coming? And you felt like, "I trusted God with my actions." That was the disciples, and they were fairly new to their faith, fairly new in their relationship with the Lord, and they were scared and they were concerned. And so what we get to see in Scripture is the master teacher being the Lord at work, showing us that before there's a storm, there's a lesson that he gives us before a storm takes place. Now, I don't know about you all, but I can just tell on myself, and I'm going to just talk about myself real bad, and you can put yourself in here as well. But has anybody else outside of myself been warned of something before it happened, and with your hard-headed self, you said, "That might be for somebody else"? I'm in church, and I'm hearing a word, and I'm like, "Ooh, this is good. Such and such should hear this," not realizing that it's good because my spirit is like, "You going to need this message." Because there's a storm coming, and just like the Lord, before any storm, he already gave you a solution. And before that storm showed up, he gave them the solution that would help them make it through the storm that they weathered. And it came from the parable of the sower. In verse 4, it says, "As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on the footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it did not have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that it grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as it had been planted. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. In verse 10, later when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples, with the others who were gathered around, they asked him what the parables meant. And verse 13 is the reason why I took the entire month to explicate this entire parable. He said, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? Meaning, if we can understand what we're learning today, you unlock all of the secrets in the kingdom of God, all of the biblical principles, all of the things that are necessary to having a thriving biblical life and formation with God. And so before I go into the title for today, I want to give you a recap, because last week we covered the first two conditions of soil, which we saw were the heart. And we need to understand that there's the same seed, but it's different soil. The seed is the word of God. And we saw that in Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. The first condition of the heart that we looked at was found in Mark chapter 4 and verse 15, which was the stony or the hard heart or the cold heart. And we then looked at the shallow heart that was found in Mark 4, 16 and 17. And now we're going to pick up with all brand new information, because out of the four conditions of the heart, three do not produce lasting fruit. So I want to ask you, what is the difference between the three attitudes of the heart that don't produce lasting fruit and the one attitude of the heart that does? And it's the title of today's finale. It's in the action. Someone say and type in, it's in the action. It's in the action. Now, I tried to stay away from this title as much as I could, but it just fits so well. And this title comes from someone who is near and dear to my heart, the Reverend Dr. C.T. Vivian. He said, it's in the action that you find out who you really are. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this series. I thank you for this message. I thank you for the opportunity to speak into the hearts and lives of the people that you have assembled here in person as well as online. Holy Spirit, I completely decrease that your word may be seen today. And we praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, everybody said and typed in, amen. Amen. Now we're going to drop down to Mark chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. And we're going to look at the next condition of the heart that I want us to deal with on today. It says, the seed fell among the thorns, represents others who hear God's word. But all too quickly, the message then is crowded out. Someone say crowded out. All right, I want you all to pay attention to that word crowded out. You're going to see it later on today. It says all too quickly, the message is crowded out, pushed away by the worries of this life, or the King James Version calls it the cares of this world, by the lure of wealth and the desire for other things. So no fruit is produced. I want to ask you all a question today that ultimately affects your ability to stay in faith until you actually see the very thing that you're believing, and that is what's going on beneath the surface of your life. And so here, the Lord was referencing Palestinian farmers who used to work solely above the surface to make sure that what other people saw looked productive. But what they didn't understand and what they failed to work on was all of the other elements that affected the quality of the soil underneath what other people can see. You see, when they removed the top layer of the soil in order to show a sign or a figment of production or a show of success but not really being successful, what they fail to understand is that without dealing with what's going on beneath the surface, as soon as everyone turns away, as soon as another day comes, all of the things that they fail to deal with come back and choke out the very look that they're going for. I heard before, there's no future in your fronting. When we are trying to put on a particular image for the world around us, we can look good on Sunday morning. We could say all the right things, but what happens in the core, in the depths of our heart, in the deep dark in the back where no one else understands, what is going to be the thing that comes up and chokes out the very nature of what God is trying to do in our life? You see, your gift will take you places, but your character keeps you there. So when it comes to faith and truly seeing the fullness of what you believe, it's going to require your character to go to another level. Because pure character reveals pure motives. Why are we doing what we're doing? And here's the reality. As much as we all want to be good people, there is an element of us, no matter how much you pray, and no matter how much of the word exists in your heart, there's a part of you called the flesh that will always want to cut up every day, all day long. In fact, your flesh is always looking for an opportunity to have expression. It's always looking for, listen, you've been good for 7 straight days. Give me this one time. I don't need a whole week. I don't need a whole day. I just need one moment where you could just let me cut the foot. That's all I want to do. That lives on the inside of us every single day. And we must understand that our calling, our faith, what we're believing for is greater than one moment of passion or rage out of context. You know, this message and this series, not only have I had to study it, but this whole series I've had to live. Y'all, this was a week. This a whole week. Anybody else had a whole week this week? Yes. By Wednesday. Woke up Monday morning. And then the kitchen sink flooded. I said, Lord, have mercy. We were going about our own merry way, and on Thursday afternoon, we were about to leave the house. Our entire washroom flooded. And I didn't realize it until I was going past the hallway where the washroom is, and I said, hey, baby, the carpet looked a little darker than it was a couple minutes ago. And when I went out to check out what was going on, and I walked in the washroom, it was up to my shins with water. And I went to, I panicked. You know, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to stop it. I wasn't trying to think about what's the most logical thing to do. So I went and reached for the plug and pulled it out. Ash said, Vince, you could have died. I didn't care. So we're sitting here. I dealt with the sink. I'm dealing with the washroom. It threw off my whole day, had plans, had meetings to go to, had to cancel counseling appointments, and just sat there, and all the while, I'm just like, I'm just going to breathe, because I know what I'm talking about this Sunday. What's within you? You don't want to mess up what you got good. Like, I got a good marriage, got a good home. It's not the time for, listen, let me tell y'all something. After a child, intimate time is different. Before kids, listen, butt naked and free, and let's get it in. Now, you gotta plan this out. And it's starting to come around a weekly setup where both of our energies align. And I'm gonna be honest, I got a great wife, and sometimes she's like, babe, I'm like, baby, no, not tonight. What about me as the person? I'm more than just a body. And so I keep all of these things in mind that if I act up, I'm going to mess up the weekly setup that we got going on. And we got to look. That's right. Amen. Exactly how I feel. So I said, I'm going to stay calm. I'm going to stay cool. We're going to clean this up, and we're going to laugh and have a good time. And the next day, somebody out of nowhere put a direct message in my inbox with somebody I thought I forgave. Oh, y'all ain't never had one of them. Somebody you thought you forgave. Where everybody talk about them all the time. And like, oh, God bless them. They put them in my inbox. And I said, this? But what happens is, when you get triggered, that's not a moment to just go smooth off. It's a moment for evaluation as to what is triggering you. Because if you lose your cool, you lose your faith. So right before that image was sent to me, my wife and I were on the highway leaving the Beltline. I saw one of the most interesting scenarios. And listen, road rage in Atlanta is hilarious and dangerous at the same time. You want to stay far enough back just in case they get to shooting, but you want to keep a good enough distance to see, like, if you can make out what they're saying to each other. And I saw a box truck and a tow truck going at it. I said, I want to see how this ends. And so as I'm looking at the box truck and the tow truck going at it, I didn't realize something, that they've been going at this for a mile. And the Lord said, Vince, I want you to really observe what you're looking at. The box truck, I'm not sure what was underneath or inside of the hatch. I don't know how much the cargo was inside of there. But the tow truck was towing a very high-end vehicle at the time, and the vehicle on the back of the tow truck was just swaying, and they were almost going to lose the vehicle because they were getting into it with the box truck. And the Lord said, the lesson I want you to learn from that, Vince, is don't let what's happening around you affect the investment that you have in you. In Mark chapter 4, verse 13, the investment is the word of God. And we cannot allow what is happening around us to affect how we hold on to the investment within us. And so when we're talking about this word that was sown, and they only care about the surface and not dealing with what's underneath in the thorns, it's talking about this word called lust. Now, I know when people hear the word lust, the next word they associate is the sex. No, I'm not talking about only the sex. I'm talking about lust is an inordinate desire for both good and bad things. Lust is an inordinate desire for both good and bad things, meaning you can have too much of a good thing. It's good for you to go out to eat and to fellowship. But if you don't have the budget, that's lust. How many of you have realized in this life that no matter how much you get, your flesh always wants more? I remember working on staff at a church in Jackson, and I was the business manager. And they had cut my salary, and I had saved that church. And I was about to get married about 6 months after they cut my salary. And I wanted to talk to who I reported up to, who worked in a different state than I did. And they were flying in town, and I said, this would be a great time for us to have a meeting and talk about just, we need to figure this out, because I am probably your most valuable employee. I oversee the money. I see that I'm not being valued like your most valuable employee, so let's have salary discussions. And so I sat down with the individual, and I said, hey, let's talk about my salary. He said, Vince, let's really talk about your salary. He said, you're young, and I was 23 at the time. I was 23 at the time. He said, you're young, you haven't lived life, but I'm going to tell you something that you probably don't understand yet. You probably want me to give you a raise of about $12,000, $15,000. I said, we're on the same page, absolutely. He said, but I want to tell you something. That feeling you feel right there is not going to leave when I give you that $12,000 to $15,000. I said, well, let's see. You know, I might be different. I don't know. But he said something that sounded oh so familiar to me. He said, more money, more problems. This longing we have is not because of a lack of external things. This longing we have is a lack of an internal sufficiency in the anointing of Christ. Can I show you all something? Who remembers when you were in college or 18 and you said, there is this amount that I want to make, and when I make this amount, anytime after this moment that I came up with this amount, I'm living. Anybody had, think about that amount. Come on, put your hands up. Online, put your hand emoji up. You were right there. And do y'all remember the first time you hit that amount? And you said, is this it? It's an inside job. And if we don't control our appetites, we will choke out the seed of the word God has given. When it comes to relationships, my man had the biggest party foul this week in Boston. You don't cheat on. But it's not about the person you sleep next to. It's about the person you look at in the mirror. Because no amount of work someone else can do can solve the insufficiency you feel in your own heart. This whole, I don't know if I should be married anymore because they don't make me happy. That's an inside job. I don't feel like she respected me like that. Like, I feel like what I do needs to get some form of respect. And I'm like, listen, she woo and I woo. And then she don't. I'm like, wow, like, hey, they crazy. That respect is an inside job. If you don't respect you, she can't respect you. It's inside. I'm going to talk to single folks. You could marry the person of your dreams and wonder that night, did I make the right decision? Because life is not about, there's this one absolute thing, of course, outside of Jesus Christ, that's going to cure all of your external wants. Because if you base your sufficiency off of something external, there will always be something else that you're trying to look for when the entire time you needed to look inside of here. So next month, when we start a series next Sunday on wholeness, being whole, you will see the correlation between these spiritual truths that we have, these scriptures, and your own mental health. It has to come together. And without a proper understanding of mental health, you have these people manipulating scriptures and blaming God for stuff they should be taking care of on their own. Amen. All right, so we talked about this heart that we're talking about is the overcluttered heart. Too much stuff, too many thoughts, too many questions, too many what ifs. It chokes out the word. All right, let's go to the next heart, which is where I want you all to live at. And that is the flourishing heart. Flourishing means to grow or develop in a healthy or vigorous way, especially as the result of a particularly favorable environment. Mark 4:20 says, this type of heart and the seed that fell on good soil, flourishing soil, represents those who hear and what? Those who hear and what? Accept. Those who hear and what? Accept. All right? So as I said last week, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But based off of what Jesus is saying in Mark chapter 4, that if I hear the word only, I'm not good soil. Because without accepting what you're hearing, your faith will grow lazy. You do not develop your faith alone. You do not develop your faith on Sunday morning. You're not developing your faith with me talking to you right now. You're not. I'm giving you information. I'm giving you inspiration. But what you do with this information and this inspiration will then need to translate to revelation. That's where we have faith.
where God begins to speak to you while I'm talking to you. So as I'm speaking, I'm saying things, and you all are thinking about areas in your life, like saying, you know what, I could adjust this. You know what, I could adjust that. That's called revelation. But revelation alone doesn't make you good soil. Revelation alone doesn't give you manifestation. And so what has happened in church for eons, especially with the rise of the word and faith movement, is that people felt like if I could just get to a good sermon, my life would be changed. There is no such thing as a life-changing sermon. The only thing that will change your life is the action you take from the sermon you hear. So people felt like if I get this CD series, if I stand in the $7,000 line, if I buy this tape collection, if I buy this book, if I get this holy oil, if I take this $1,500 masterclass, then my life will change. And it won't. And your children saw that and said that whole Christianity thing doesn't work. So now God has raised the Outlet Community Church, because I came from the same background, to speak to my generation to say, the word works, but your parents did the best they could with the word they knew. So now I've got to get you back, because we are now the new grown-ups. I don't know if you noticed this, but we're in our mid-30s, tipping the 40s side of things, and our parents, they are holding around 45. They're not going to admit they're any older than 45. But we're the new adults. Meaning we're raising the next generation. Meaning, what are you instilling in your children? I had a father recently reach out to me. And this father is a habitual cheater. It's all he does. And his son is of age to where he now has a girlfriend. And the son is excited about the opportunity to cheat on his girlfriend. And the father asked me, what can I do? I said, man, listen, you need to go to your son and apologize and tell him that in the moment you needed me to model behavior, I couldn't give it to you. You're not going to preach your child out of your bad habits. You got to live them. And so I didn't let up. Because one thing about us fellas, a real fella that respects another real fella is that he going to sit right in your lap. And he's not going to sit in your lap. We're going to rewind this one. He's going to stand at a healthy distance away and look you dead in your eye. And not move off what he's telling you. And I just felt that when I was talking to him. I said, man, you failed your son. Anything you know to do that's right and you're not doing it, you're failing the next generation after you. But I'm so grateful that we serve a God of another chance, because you can own up to your mistake and say, I did not do what I knew to do, but I want to give you the opportunity to do what I never could do. And that's going to get you so much respect. That's going to get you so much honor to know that the life that you live is giving a sermon to the generation that follows you. What life are we living? What life are we living? So it's not just hearing this word, it's accepting this word. And I wanted to know if there was a difference in the Greek between hear and accept. And the Greek word, I don't know it, can y'all put it on the, there we go. The Greek word for accept is Lord have mercy. The Greek word is right, for those watching online, right here. For those in here, it's right there. But it's confirmation of a rumor you heard. Faith is only a rumor till you prove it out for yourself. Because you're seeing what God is doing in the life of someone else. You're seeing what he's done on the page. But when your heart goes from being a heart that doesn't produce to one that does produce, is when you say, I've seen it in such and such's life. I've seen it on such and such's faith, on the page. I've seen it in the book. But you know what? I've seen it for myself. And that is when your heart becomes good soil, because no one can out-talk you of the miracle that God did for you. So you might be able to talk circles around me about the Hebrew, the Greek, the Aramaic. You might want to talk to me about all the genealogies and where we came from and where we didn't come from. You might want to talk to me about all your crystals, just being a Dragon Ball Z collector. I don't know, whatever you are. But what you can't talk me out of is what I've seen for myself. Mark chapter 5, I'm going to close here because there's some other stuff we need to talk about today. Mark chapter 5, and I'm going to finish this Mark chapter 5 in the pastor's office tomorrow, 7 a.m., because I want to talk about what I learned about the flourishing heart from the woman with the issue of blood. In Mark chapter 5, verse 25, I can read it right here. It said, a woman in a crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. You know, this is really ironic because it was supposedly taboo for her to be suffering with an issue surrounding her female reproductive system. But in reality, as you dug a little deeper, even in ancient biblical times, it was very common for women to deal with reproductive issues, but the church shamed them from being honest with what was happening within them. Let's keep going. Verse 26. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and when it came to doctors, there were three things that they had her do. They had her taking natural, holistic approaches. They had her taking oils, and there were then superstitions that they also had her try. So 12 years, she paid for doctors to practice on her, but she didn't get better, but she rather grew worse. And over that period of time, every time she went to a doctor or went through a treatment that didn't get the answer that she needed, the doctor had to declare over her life that she was yet unclean. And so for 12 years, after all the money she had in the world, after all the appointments that she had in the world, man was telling her that you're unclean and that you are not allowed to be out publicly. So not only was she poor, but she was lonely. And anything that you suffer from for a while without going to Jesus will rob you of your resources and rob you of your fellowship. So I may be talking to somebody who's watching this service today, and you've really barricaded yourself in the house because you're ashamed at how your life looks. I want to encourage you today that just like the woman with the issue of blood, she thought her situation was isolated, but there were far more people dealing with the very same thing that she thought she could not talk about. Let's keep going. Here we go. Verse 27. She heard about Jesus. Earlier in Mark chapter 4, we said fertile soil hears and what? Accepts. So she had heard about Jesus, so she came up. She didn't just leave what she heard about Jesus as, I heard he could do this, but she said, I need to add some action to what I heard he could do. Someone say and type in, it's in the action. Yes. It's in the action. And so she came up behind him through the crowd. Where do we hear crowd before? On the over-cluttered heart. So again, this is Mark chapter 5. Jesus was just teaching this in Mark chapter 4. The disciples failed the lesson on the water. Now they get a chance to see the lesson in operation through the woman with the issue of blood. So she heard, then she accepted, she then saw what Jesus could do, and then it was in the action of what she was doing. But then she too had a crowd that could have pushed her away and choked out the very thing that she heard. So I don't know what your crowd is, whether it's your negative self-talk, Whether your crowd is doubt. Whether your crowd is rejections. I don't know what your crowd is. Whether it's a lack of resources. Do not let the crowd keep you away from the very person in Jesus Christ who is sent to heal the issue that you're dealing with. And so she came up behind him. Go back, verse 27. Came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe, verse 28. For she thought to herself, if I could just touch his robe, I would be healed. So all of her thoughts had a bias toward action. She didn't say, well, I'm just going to wait on the Lord to do what he's going to do in my lifetime. Thank you, Lord Jesus. She said, if I could just touch his robe, I would be healed. Verse 29. After some time, immediately the bleeding stopped. Where was the bleeding located? Outside of her body or inside of her body? Inside. And she could feel where? In her body. Were you letting the word interpret the word? She could feel in her body that she had been healed. Where? Inside. Inside. Because if God can take care of what's deep within, then he'll take away anything that will choke out your ability to have fruit in the word of God. She knew on the inside, she had been healed of her terrible condition. But come on, somebody. Let me tell you what I love about the Lord. He just don't want your insides right. Because what God does for us internally is instantaneous. But I want to show you something else. Verse 30. Jesus realized that once healing power had gone out from him, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? Verse 31. His disciples said to him, look at this crowd pressing on you. How can you ask who touched me? Verse 32. But he kept on looking to see who had done it. Verse 33. Then the frightened woman, because she knew she must have stole something, because she was used to working for her healing. She was used to suffering for her healing. When you get so used to dysfunction that when it's not dysfunction, you don't know how to act. When the relationship's not toxic, you don't know how to not have an argument. Trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell on her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. Where had the healing already taken place? Did she tell him the truth before or after she was healed? Before, by show of hands, who says she told him the truth before she got healed? Raise your hand if you believe it was after she got healed. Come on now. When you get healthy, you get honest. But your healing is not predicated on your honesty. It's predicated on God's goodness. So anybody who felt like, I got to clean myself up. I got to clean this up. We got to work on this. We got to work on that. We got to work on this. We got to work on that. You're like the woman before she met Jesus. You're not getting better. You're only getting worse. But she came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. Verse 34, and he said to her, daughter, your faith in action has made you well or whole. When did she get healed internally? Immediately. But when she got honest, she got healed holistically. Spirit, soul, body. That's all for today. Stand to your feet. So as I put a pause right there, that is why in the month of October now, I've got to now teach a series on wholeness. Because we leave our counseling sessions, we leave therapy, and we don't do any work. We don't do the homework that they give us. We leave church, whoo-wee, weren't you stirred? Had a shouting good time. It touched my heart, but it didn't change your life. So if anybody's in here today, under the sound of my voice, whether you're in person or online, just eyes closed in this place, we're going to put this in action. God is here to heal that issue from within. But it just requires you to go in the direction of Jesus. If that's you in here and you've been dealing with an issue, whatever it is, you fill in the blank. And today, you're ready to push through the crowd and take the first step in healing for that issue. With every head bowed, eye closed. If that's you, could you just slip your hand up? I see that hand right there. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. Hands going up all over. Hands and hearts even online as well. Healing is the first step. The next step of wholeness is a commitment to another level of honesty. Being humble enough to say, God, this is who I am. This is where I'm at. Flaws and all. And if that's you in here today and you're saying, you know what? These cycles keep happening over and over again, and I'm ready to end this cycle. I desire a greater level of honesty with the Lord. Me being honest with Him. Me being transparent with Him. If that's you today, just slip your hand up so I know who I'm praying for. God bless you. 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 When you get honest, everything gets better. Hands down as we pray today. Lord, I thank you for all of my brothers and sisters, wherever they are in their walk with you, that you are the one who heals. You are the one who makes whole. You are the one who has the words of eternal life. So we commit as a community to be those who encourage each other to just get closer to Jesus, to grab hold of the word, to grab hold of the promises of God. For those of us who have grabbed hold to the word, I'm asking that in each of our hearts, you increase our awareness of what's going on within so that we could be honest before you. And as we're honest before you, God, you're just going to create new paths of wholeness, relationships restored, minds renewed, resources replenished, because we're in the image and likeness of you. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.